because of their sin, they had turned from worshiping Him to worshiping other gods. God's purpose in this judgment was to bring them back to Him, back to having no other gods before Him. His instruments of judgment were invading armies who carried His people from their homeland. Those who were sent out by God to exact this judgment were described as fishers and hunters. Their role was to make sure the people of Israel did not escape this judgment. All this was designed to lead God's people to repent and to return to Him. And we know from verse 15 of this chapter that although the process was long and painful, the end result was His people repenting and returning to Him. Just like it did with the children of Israel, our sin separates us from God as well. And God also made a way for us to be saved from our sin and wandering. He sent Jesus to be the way that we in our sin could be reconciled to Him. He sent Jesus with a purpose, with a message, and with a plan. Jesus stated this purpose in Luke 19:10. He came to seek and to save the lost. And in Mark 1:15, we have recorded a simple message where He said, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And the Father's plan was for Jesus to spend 3.5 years of public ministry sharing that message with the world. This perfect plan included Jesus' death to pay our sin debt, and then His resurrection. Then the plan was for Him to return to the Father. So since it wasn't God's plan for Jesus to stay down here these last 2,000 years sharing this message, what was the plan for His message to be carried forward? That brings us to Matthew 4:19. At the very beginning of His public ministry, we read the account of Jesus calling His first disciples. As He was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where Andrew and Peter were casting a net fishing, He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Here the Lord uses the illustration of fishing for people in a different way than God used it in the Jeremiah passage. Though in both cases the need for fishers is because of consequences of and judgment for sin, our sin separated us from God. The Matthew passage implies fishing for men in order to bring them to the Father. If you would think for a moment with me, who was the person most used by God in the process of you coming to Him? Who was willing to be sent out by God to share the truth that He used to bring you to faith? For me, it was the author of a little book on end times, and that member of our church years ago who gave it to me and challenged me to read that book. To this question, the Philippian jailer would say, "Paul and Silas." Cornelius would say, "Peter." The Ethiopian eunuch would say, "Philip." But the more convicting question is, would anyone answer this question by naming you and me as the person who was most used by the Lord to bring them to becoming a believer? What was the response of Andrew and Peter to this call? Verse 20 in Matthew 4 tells us immediately they left their nets and followed Him. And we see chronicled throughout the book of Acts amazing accounts of how following Jesus for 3.5 years transformed these uneducated, rough fishermen into incredible fishers of men, as Jesus predicted when He initially called them to follow Him. These men said yes to the call, but they could only share the message as long as they lived, because they were faithful to teach other men and women to be fishers of men. You and I have heard God's saving message. Now it's our turn and responsibility to fish for men and pass the faith along to the next generation. So what does it mean for you or me to be a fisher of men? And is following Jesus still the formula for him to make us as members of UBC to be fishers of men like it was for his first followers? Are you and I effectively fishing for men today? If not, we need to do a better job of what Andrew and Peter were called to do, to follow Jesus. These men literally followed Jesus around. They traveled with him, ate with him, slept with him, watched him do incredible miracles. Over the course of Jesus' public ministry, these men followed him day and night. We can see from their transformed lives what following Jesus can do in one's life. The first step in learning how to fish for men was then and is now to follow Jesus. Since he is no longer physically here for us to follow around as they could, the question for us is, how do we go about following Jesus? Is our way of following him today any less effective at making us fishers of men than it was for those first century disciples? The answer from Scripture is clearly no. In John 14:12, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." So if we're not effectively fishing for men, we need to search our hearts. It's evidence that we're not effectively following Jesus. And in John 15:4 and 5, we read Jesus' further words, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Is fishing for men a part of following Jesus, or is it a result of following Jesus? Or are both statements true? Is fishing for men an optional activity for us who claim to be followers of Jesus? After we are saved and begin following and abiding in Jesus, then what do we do to fish for men? Jesus used this picture of fishing for men with a group of men who had done this all their lives, so they would have understood immediately what was involved. If we wanted to go fishing for fish, we would have to go where the fish are. So it is when trying to fish for men. Too often, our message is come in here instead of go and tell. Where then are you and I to be fishing for men? I believe there's a relationship between fishing for men and making disciples. The Great Commission says that as we are going, we're to be making disciples. So where will you be going tomorrow? To class, some of you, to work, to Walmart to shop, to Second Mile, some of you will be in the home. These examples of going are a part of our normal everyday life. So wherever you and I are going tomorrow and the rest of our days, we are to be making disciples and fishing for men, women, boys, and girls. There's also a more intentional, planned type of going. And perfect examples we've heard tonight, we've got two groups, one going to East Asia, one going to Colombia to fish for men. Our upcoming Love the City project is an intentional plan to be fishing for men in our city. But should we as a church be doing more? I'd like to conclude with two questions. First, is there anyone here this evening who is yet to even take the first step of leaving your nets to follow Jesus? I ask this because almost 48 years ago, I walked through those doors for the first time into this worship center as a lost person. If it could happen then, it could have happened tonight. You may be a wonderful person. Obviously, you're a churchgoer, but you can still be lost. 1 John 5, 11 and 12 say, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." You can walk in here lost and walk out saved tonight. My message to you is that message of Jesus: repent and believe in the gospel. The other question is for all the saved in this group: are we following Jesus in a way that allows Him to be making us fishers of men? For the process of passing the faith along to future generations until He returns, what must happen? We must follow Jesus and allow Him to make us fishers of men. Are we praying daily for the Father to give us opportunities to share our faith? Are we intentional about making the lost a part of our everyday lives? We've heard our pastors and elders share their desire for UBC to be a place where fishing for men and discipleship are happening more and more. Just as the Lord has a plan for us as individuals, He has a plan for us as the body of Christ called University Baptist Church that we need to fully discover and follow. We have 26,754 students attending the University of Arkansas. Are we doing all that God wants us doing individually and corporately to be fishing for them? We have two new apartment complexes right next to us with hundreds of lost, unchurched people. What's our plan to fish for them? We have need for fishers of men in our Second Mile ministry. There are opportunities to fish for men by expanding our present ministry to children in the Grandview Apartments to include ministering to their parents. I know there are many in our body who are presently discipling others, but there is a need for more to be done in this area as well. I would encourage you, if you're not involved in fishing for men as you know He wants you to be, that you let one of our pastors, elders, or other leaders know of your interest and willingness to be fishing for men. C.H. Spurgeon concluded a message he preached in 1886 on Matthew 4:19 by saying to his congregation, "Brethren, we have no conception of what God could do by this company of believers gathered in this tabernacle tonight. If now we were filled with the Holy Ghost, there are enough of us to evangelize London." If Dr. Spurgeon were alive and could be here tonight, would he say to us, "Brethren, you have no conception of what God could do by this company of believers gathered in the chapel tonight. If now you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there are enough of you to evangelize Fayetteville." Let's together follow Jesus and allow Him to make us fishers of men.